God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text comes from our Gospel reading, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, especially verse 17. And the way it was read in our worship service from the New International Version, Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." This is our text. In our world today, we have to sometimes wonder a little bit more about what's going on during this resurrection. It's been many years since this event occurred. After the crucifixion of Jesus, we know that his disciples went to the tomb, as our text said. The women went there first to prepare the body, but it wasn't as strange when the tomb was empty and there was no body to prepare. Not that we are dealing with grave thieves, but notice John, in our gospel reading, very clearly articulates what happened to the strips of linen and the covering around the head. Very closely and carefully, the gospel writer saw and writes down for us so that we also will believe and trust in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, not everyone believes and trusts in Jesus as their Savior and Deliverer from sin, death, and the devil. And on this resurrection of our Lord, as we celebrate it, we are reminded of these events. Even though they occurred about 2,000 years ago, they are still relevant today. Because without the empty tomb, without Jesus being bodily resurrected from the dead, our faith is in vain. Not that I want to say you woke up early and came on this Sunday morning for a vain reason. No, we do believe in the resurrection of the dead. We do believe that Jesus bodily rose from the dead. Now, why the emphasis on the bodily resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, I want to read our same text from John chapter 20, verse 17, but from a different version. The one I sort of like the best, strangely enough, comes from the New American Standard Translation. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me." Or from the English Standard Version, Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me." What I like about those two translations is it gives you the idea that Mary is sort of grasping on to Jesus, holding on with both arms as tightly as she possibly can. And why is this important? Because we have to remember Jesus bodily rose from the dead. This was not some spirit or some figment of her imagination. This was true flesh and blood. Otherwise, she wouldn't be able to cling onto Jesus. Very often when I start thinking of clinging, I always think of my little girls. They're still little. And every once in a while, they just sort of grab onto me with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their strength. And you sort of have to pry them off of you. But that's okay. That's good in a special sense. That's the type of clinging that Mary was doing. Now, the reason why I need to compare and contrast that translation is that, strangely enough, the King James Version didn't do a very good job in translating that. The King James said, "Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not." It almost gives you the idea that Mary was sort of doing a little bit of a poking or just sort of touching. That isn't exactly what Mary was doing. Mary was hanging on to that, clinging on to that part is being brought up, especially in the Greek of the text. And so why is that so important for us to hang on to? Pardon the pun, but that is the title of today's message. Who are you hanging on to? Mary was clinging on to Jesus with all her heart, with all her soul, with all her strength. Who or what are you clinging on to? Is it the news that, yes, we have a Savior who bodily rose from the dead? Or is it something else? We live in a world where there's a lot of temptations, a lot of toys, a lot of things, and a lot of distractions that consume a lot of our time. Is that what you cling on to when the going gets rough? Or do you cling on to your Savior? Everyone's going to have moments of bad news, moments of low energy, moments where you just want to hang on to someone who loves you and cares for you. When those times occur in your life, who do you hang on to the most? Who is there to give you that strength, that encouragement, that love? Who's there to forgive you when you've done something wrong? Who's there to lift you up? Who's always there? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But just like there are some people who don't believe in the bodily resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there are even some Christians in the world who are more fans of the King James text, and there's nothing wrong with the King James text except for the theology now. They just want to touch base with our Lord and Savior every now and then on their terms. You sort of get this, you know, it's time for me to check in type mode. And for some people, that occurs around Easter time and again at Christmas time. And there's nothing wrong with checking in. But what happens, as the cliche in life says, when you're at the end of your rope? One of the ways I've heard that cliche is, when you're at the end of the rope, what you need to do is tie a knot and hang on. Well, that's our world speaking. When we get to the end of our rope, we need to cling on to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our world doesn't practice much forgiveness. You do something wrong in today's world, there's punishment. There's retribution. There's vengeance. There's anger. Not so with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're down and out and you feel like you're low on energy, our world has a habit of just trampling people over on their way up to the top. Who do you want to trust into? Your own self? The things of this world? Or our Savior? So we go back to this resurrection and we say, what's it all about? Jesus, and a couple days beforehand, was crucified. He was crucified for a particular reason. He had to appease God's wrath because of our sins. You see, just because of one sin, just like our world today, one sin would stir up the wrath and anger of God and would have that vengeance. But God loves each and every one of us so much, He doesn't want to take that vengeance out upon us. So He takes it upon Jesus when He dies on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We talk about how our sins are forgiven. Another way of looking at this forgiveness is saying that our sins are detached from us and attached to Jesus Christ. That's what the forgiveness of sins is all about. Yes, God's wrath still needs to be appeased, but they were appeased upon the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the resurrection occurs 3 days after that death, after they buried Jesus. And if He was an ordinary human being, when the women went to the tomb on that Sunday morning, they should have found the body of Jesus lying there within the linens, still needed to be prepared with the spices, as proper customs would dictate. But instead, they found the tomb empty. Not a victim of grave robbers, but proof that God the Father accepted the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as payment. It's proof that, yes, God the Father now takes those sins away from us and casts them upon Jesus, so now that He can look at us straight in the eye and say, I love you. Even though you've sinned, I'm still there for you. I care for you, regardless what you're going through. Where in our world do we find that kind of hope, that kind of encouragement? Not very often. And if we do find it, hang on to it, because it only comes from God and God alone. So on this day, as we celebrate this resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have to ask the question, who or what are you hanging on to? Because the things of this world can be taken away, the things of this world can break, the things of this world can fall apart. And I'm not just talking about toys, Sometimes we even build special relationships. But even spouses die. Friends may become disenchanted with each other. Relationships may fall apart. So what do we trust in? We trust in the one who will always be there. The one who is our guide, our hope, the forgiveness of our sins, the eternal life. Now going back to this bodily resurrection piece, as Lutherans, we take this one step even more, which may sound a little strange if you don't have a Lutheran background. But later on in our service, in a few more minutes, we'll come to the Lord's table, where we receive that bread and the wine, and we say there's more than just bread and the wine there. But Christ is bodily present with that bread and that wine. We talk about that bread and wine being the very true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know it may look like ordinary bread and wine, but as Luther describes it, in, with, and under that bread and the wine is also the body and blood of Christ. How that actually occurs is beyond my imagination, but this is what Scripture teaches. So this is what we believe, what we teach. How can someone rise from the dead? Again, that also is beyond our imagination. But in John chapter 20, verse 17, Mary is clinging on to the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's go back to that sacrament for a moment. And why is it so important for us to believe that the bodily presence of Jesus is really there in the bread and the wine? Well, what's its purpose? It's not just something we do for the fun of it. It's not something we do just because we need to take up about 5 or 10 minutes in the service. It's something that we do for our benefit, for the strength of our faith, for the forgiveness of our sins, to remind us that, yes, Christ is still there. He is still present. He is there to nourish us, to strengthen us. He's there to forgive us, to lift us up when things get rough. He's there for us to hang on to. So as we take this bread, we are hanging on to the body of Christ. As we take this wine, we are hanging on to the blood of Christ. Who else would we hang on to? As Peter said to our Lord, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." That was shown as Jesus now says to Mary, "Don't cling on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father." We knew from very early on, Jesus said, the Father and I are one. What's really neat about the rest of this passage, Jesus says, your Father. There's only one way that the Heavenly Father can be your Father. Jesus' death and resurrection appeased the Father's wrath. Otherwise, we'd be experiencing death and damnation, no longer our Father, no longer our God, but our judge, our condemner. But through the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now a loving Father, a caring God, who cares about what's going on in your life. So the next time we feel like we're at the end of our rope and we want to tie a knot and hang on with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength, let's remember who Mary hung on to. The reason why Jesus was saying, stop hanging on to me, wasn't so that he could get rid of her. No, it was because there had to be a message that went out to the people. The disciples had to know. They were feeling a lot of that guilt, a lot of that grief, a lot of that bad emotions. And Jesus wanted to give them the good news that he was alive. So he was telling Mary, stop hanging on to me. I'm glad you're enjoying the moment. But now go and tell the disciples. Share this good news with the entire world that your sins are forgiven. We now have a God who loves us, who cherishes us, who wants us to be with him in heaven above. So when we get to the end of our rope, we're not alone. We're not forgotten. But our Lord and Savior is there for us to cling on to with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. And as we cling on to Him, we ask the Lord to continue to keep us in His care, to bring us to be with Him in eternal life. And He delights in us coming to Him and saying, yes, we need His help. We need His forgiveness. We need what He provides. Who are you clinging on to or hanging on to? Hopefully it is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is in Him we have life. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.